Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 44. This is the word of the Lord. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to him, to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. For they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" This is the word of the Lord. Last Lord's Day, we considered how the resurrection of the body is an essential element of our faith, as it is an essential element of the gospel. Without the resurrection of the dead, there is no gospel. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. What we say about the resurrection of Christ from the dead reveals what we think about the resurrection of the dead. It is often said that the resurrection of Christ from the dead was the proof of his divinity. But Christ was not raised from the dead according to his divine nature, even as Christ did not suffer death according to his divine nature. As Christ suffered death according to his human nature, so also Christ was raised from the dead according to his human nature. It was in our likeness, in the likeness of man, that he suffered and died, and on the third day was raised. The resurrection of Christ from the dead was not so much the proof of his divinity, but rather the accomplishment of our salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The resurrection of Christ from the dead, it is the hope of our resurrection from the dead. He was raised from the dead for us, so that we might be raised from the dead in him. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Christian hope is not the escape of the soul from the prison of the body. The Christian hope is the glorification of the body at the resurrection. The resurrection of the dead is an essential element of our faith. It is an essential element of our hope. It is an essential element of the gospel. Without it, there is no gospel. The life of Christ, it is the pattern of our life. The life he lived for us is the pattern of the life that we now live in him. He suffered unto glory for us, so that we might suffer unto glory in him. He died and was raised for us, that we might die and be raised in him. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. If we wonder what our life in the world to come will be like, if we wonder what our life in the kingdom of glory will be like, we need only look to Christ. To Christ as he is now, for we are being conformed to his image. And what is the life of Christ like now? It is to dwell bodily in the presence of God forever. For Christ was raised in the body. He was glorified in the body. He ascended in the body. And this is our hope in him. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. In his response to the Sadducees, Jesus reveals that the life of the resurrection is qualitatively different from this life. The life of the world to come, it is not a mere extension, a mere continuation of the life of this world, as though it were simply life in this world, but without sin and without end. Even before the fall, even before sin, Adam himself lived in the hope of the world to come. Even before the fall, even before sin, Adam, with a natural body, he lived in the hope of the spiritual body, of the glorified body. For if there is a natural body, then there is also a spiritual body. But the natural is first, then the spiritual. Life in the age to come is qualitatively different from life in this age. In Luke chapter 20, Jesus compares the life of those who are raised to glory. He compares their life and glory to the life of the angels. He says that the sons of the resurrection, the sons of God, will be equal to angels, which is to say that they will be like the angels. You will be like the angels. And in fact, you will be exalted above the angels. Man was created below the angels in hope of being exalted above the angels. In Psalm 8, in verses 4 and 5, the psalmist says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, a little lower than the angels." Man was created by God lower than the angels. But notice how the author of Hebrews interprets Psalm 8. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 8. And there he writes, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him?' You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." Notice the difference between Psalm 8 and Hebrews chapter 2. In Psalm 8 we read that God made man a little lower than the angels. And in Hebrews chapter 2, we read that God made man for a little while lower than the angels. The author of Hebrews is revealing something to us, something about our hope, about our purpose, about our end. The author of Hebrews is revealing to us that while God made man at first lower than the angels, he was not meant to remain lower than the angels, but one day to be exalted above the angels. And this is exactly what we see in the exaltation of Christ, the Son of Man. Christ has been exalted higher than the angels, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. But here is the great wonder. For God has not only exalted Christ above the angels, but God exalts us with Christ above the angels. God has raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. Christ was exalted above the angels for you. And you are exalted above the angels in Him. And you will be exalted above the angels with Him. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels?" Your life in the world to come will not only be a life like the angels, but even one above the angels. Truly, glorious things are spoken of you. It is in the resurrection of Christ that we see the importance of the full humanity of Christ for our salvation. He was fully man for your sake. For us, in our likeness, in the likeness of man, He suffered and died and was raised. For us, in our likeness, in the likeness of man, He has been raised to everlasting life, that you might also be raised with Him in His likeness to everlasting life. In the resurrection of Christ, we see the importance and the significance of His being fully man. And that is on full display in the Gospel of Luke, the full humanity of Christ. But in Luke chapter 20, in verses 41 through 44, we also see that Christ is more than fully man. He is fully man, but He is more than fully man. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were not able to catch Jesus in His words, and the answers which He gave to their questions left them silent, unable and unwilling to speak. But in verse 41, it is now Jesus' turn to pose a question. It is Jesus' turn to ask them a question, a question which they are unable to answer. How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." David thus calls Him Lord. So how is He his son? How can the Christ be David's son and David's Lord? There is no question that the Christ was David's son. This was the promise of God to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verses 12 and 13. I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And this is a promise that is fulfilled in Jesus, as revealed in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The promise of God to David, it is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is David's son. The Christ is the son of David. But even as we saw that the life of the resurrection was not a mere extension of this life, so also here we see that the throne of Christ's kingdom is not a mere extension of the throne of David's kingdom, an earthly throne in an earthly kingdom. For in Psalm 110, which is the psalm which Jesus quotes, in Psalm 110, we see that the throne of Christ is none other than the throne of the Lord. The place of Christ is at the right hand of God in heaven. And that is why Christ, raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of God in heaven. For the throne of his kingdom was not an earthly throne. The throne of his kingdom was a heavenly throne. Christ ascended to the right hand of God in heaven, there to receive his kingdom. The throne of Christ is a heavenly throne, even as the kingdom of Christ is a heavenly kingdom. And if the Christ was only the son of David, then David would not have called him Lord, just as David did not call Solomon Lord, or any of his sons Lord. David calls the Christ Lord because he is not only the son of David. He is fully the son of David. But he is more than fully the son of David. He is not only the son of David, but he is also the son of God. For he is not only fully man, but he is also fully God. The question that Jesus asks, it remains a mystery unless Jesus is both fully man and fully God, which is what he is. the son of David and the son of God. It is in this way that Jesus the Christ is both David's son and David's Lord. For the throne of David's son is the throne of the Lord. A throne only fit for one who is both the son of David and the son of God. The kingdom of Christ, it is not a kingdom of this world. It is the kingdom of heaven. It is the kingdom of the world to come. And as that kingdom is not of this world, so life in that kingdom is not the life of this world. It is a life that can only be attained through the resurrection from the dead. It is a life that can only be had through faith in Christ. That life is the life of glory. It is the life without end. The life that Christ himself now possesses for you. A life that you now possess in him. And a life that you will enjoy with him when he comes again on the clouds of heaven in the glory of the Father with the holy angels, when all his enemies will be put under his feet, including that last enemy, which is death. For on that day, you will be raised from the dead to meet Christ in the air, and so be with him forever, raised to an exalted height, a height above the angels, to sit with Christ himself. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorious things of you are spoken. Glory be to the Father. Glory be to the Son. Glory be to the Spirit. World without end. Amen. Let us pray.